The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's time for our weekly television spot. Jennifer Gannon is here with us in Marconi House in Dublin. Joe Shea is in our Cork studio at Republic of Works. And Joe, I want to start with one of the most prominent and impressive Irish people on British television. Today announced that he is giving up his job with the BBC for, I suppose, unusual but very much good reasons. Tell us a little bit about Fergal Keane giving up his job as African editor for BBC News.
Yeah, Fergal Keane, he's 59 years of age. People know him very well, BBC News African editor. Very well-known face on our TVs, especially when there's been some sort of disaster in Africa or some terrible event. He's said that he's been struggling with PTSD for quite a while. He's sought treatment for it and help for it. And he reckons it dates back to his experiences in Rwanda in 1994. Where, as you would expect back then, you know, which he arrived in Rwanda very shortly after, you know, the ethnic cleansing and the
genocide,
still a very dangerous situation. Yeah, he says that he has to take a step back. He has to go and get proper rest, get proper treatment for PTSD. So it's sad in a way because he is a very talented broadcaster, and hopefully he'll be able to get the help that he needs, the time for recovery that he needs, and he will be back.
And a very good writer as well, because he sometimes writes for Irish newspapers like the Sunday Independent and Irish Times. But Jennifer Gannon, when you think about it, I suppose, it does actually show that, you know, if you are covering dreadful stories that involve death and despair and gross injustice, if you're a human, it is going to have an effect on you.
It's going to take its toll, the trauma of, you know, being witness to these stories. And I think it's a sign of his professionalism and his resilience that he continued for so long and then has come out. It's a brave move to come out publicly and say you are stepping away from something like this because of PTSD. But we've seen this before and it's had tragic consequences. If you look at the war photographer, the photojournalist Kevin Carter, who covered the Sudanese famine in 1993, and he had, you know, that famous Pulitzer Prize winning photograph of the girl, and there was a vulture beside her. She was an emaciated young African girl. And I think he said himself he committed suicide because in his suicide note he said he was haunted by vivid memories of killings and corpses and he couldn't take it anymore. So I think, you know, it's a really good, obviously, move for someone like Fergal Keane to actually just say, I'm taking a step back and I need to get help. And I think it will shine a spotlight on the fact that we are sending journalists into these kind of places and asking them to report for these stories. But what is the outcome of this? And is there, you know, the duty of care, the training and the support, are they getting enough? And, you know, is this a new step forward and will they get more? Obviously, they'll have to look at this, the BBC and hopefully other news outlets.
OK, let's move on from that. And of course, another Irish woman who's been very successful at the BBC in recent years has been Angela Scanlon. And she is now coming back to a role in RT's primetime Saturday night schedule. Tell us about this, Joe.
Yeah, Angela Scanlon, there was a big kind of media kind of blast about who was going to get this show. You know, the RT were looking at giving a primetime Saturday night show to a woman.
So we just should have spent, this is Ray Darcy's
old
ended
slot.
Prematurely at
yes.
Christmas.
Yes.
Tommy Tiernan is in the middle of an 8-week run, which is getting rave reviews and seems to be really very popular with the public. But it's a short run. And then the next run for 8 weeks is going to Angela Scanlon.
And it's going to be called Ask Me Anything with Angela Scanlon. And, you know, people like Catherine Thomas, Jennifer Zamparelli, Stephanie Preston, were all kind of talked about. And I believe some of them actually did run-throughs and screen tests for this. It's going to be Angela Scanlon. Now, it's interesting. It seems to me that RT have looked at Tommy Tiernan's show and kind of gone, right, OK, they've learned some lessons from that. Because what John McHugh, is the group head of entertainment, is saying is that there's going to be spontaneous and unpredictable programme where they're going to get guests who will ask Angela unexpected questions, basically. So they're not going to go with the traditional chat show format, you know, and a lot of people would have felt that format kind of these days is very, it's like a straitjacket for people, really, when they're trying to do a show like this. So it'll be interesting to see if Angela can repeat. She won't be doing the same as Tommy Tiernan. He's got a very unique style and a very unique approach, and it's, you know, it's worked very, very well for him. But if she does get the freedom, she has got a good personality, she's got a lot of experience, she's been presenting the one show on BBC, which which is a huge, huge show to do in the UK. So if she's given, you know, that freedom, if they can allow the spontaneity to come true, it could work very well for her.
What do you reckon, Jennifer?
Yeah, I mean, I think she's more than capable. Like, as you said, she was on The One Show. She was doing The Voice UK. And we've also seen her on the red carpet for the BAFTAs. I'm just hoping that this will be lighter and funnier, because I think there's a tendency for Irish talk shows, because we have that air of melancholy within us, that we stray into this serious emotional terrain. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. I think Tommy Tiernan is a master at taking the emotional temperature of a guest, and it leads into an insightful line of conversation. But I'd hate for her show to try and replicate that show completely. I think it needs to be its own thing. I want it to be fun. I want it to be mischievous. I think we're missing a trick. We're missing silly, kind of sharp presenting in the vein of, like, let's even say what Polly Yates used to do. Like, I think there needs to be this sense of intrigue that will capture viewers. Like, you want to have that audience there going, where is this going, or what's she going to say next, but in her own way. And I think it'll be a challenge, but I think she's more than able to helm something like this.
Of course, another Irish television personality who's been developed in recent years on Operation Transformation got her own breakout show last week in what you might call the Dermot Bannon slot. Dr. Ava Orsman's Great Escape was on RT1 last Sunday night, and I think it's on again next two Sundays. Let's hear a little bit about it. This is her South African husband, Wyatt, and herself had separated for some time, bought a dilapidated hotel in the Algarve, and decided to convert it into a 5-star health spa and weight loss clinic as a way of repairing their damaged relationship. Let's hear a little bit about this.
Recently reunited after a high-profile separation, this is more than just a business for Ava and Wyatt. It's a second chance for their relationship.
The separation happened last year, kind of September, October, anyway, somewhere on there. And there's always been a little bit of, the love wasn't totally dead. And when this project came up, it was, oh, another project. And it's like, oh, not another project, not another crazy idea. But then I said, well, if we do this one the way we should do it, give ourselves time to do it prop, do it right, you know, it should work out. Just the way forward just makes life interesting.
This whole thing of going now to Portugal, I almost feel my life is starting again. Like, it's been a little bit stressful, you know, the last few years with the boys leaving certs, and life has been so busy. So I just feel like we're going back to what we were doing when we were living in South Africa, because I suppose we have so much more time. And the last 17 years has been so busy. While it's been so exciting, I just think that sometimes life's just, it's too much work and all the time go, 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 that you don't really maybe put enough time and effort in the relationship.
Primetime Sunday night television, Jennifer.
Where was this high profile separation? It wasn't high profile in my world, maybe in the RSVB world. I mean, we have the weirdest celebrities in Ireland, like Gerald Keane, Mattress Mick, Dr. Eva. I mean, this would be the equivalent to watching The Doctor from this morning go off and buy a camper van or something. I don't know why people want to watch this. I mean, I get that people are attached to Dermot Bannon. He distracts us from our Sunday night fear. He gives people their dream homes. That was an interesting novelty to see those tables turned and see him be on the other side of it. I mean, what has Dr. Eva done for telly? Well, for the telly view in public, apart from humiliating a girl to tears on Operation Transformation and modelling herself as some kind of no-nonsense woman health guru. I mean, it hardly makes you root for her. And if someone else is saying, we're spending the guts of €20,000 a week on this project, you're like, okay, Grant, fair enough. Good for you guys. But why do we have to see it?
Joe Shea, what do you make of it all?
You know, there's a great show on Channel 4 called Escape to the Chateau, which I really like to watch, and it's got a couple, an English couple, and they're doing what these guys are doing. And I really enjoy that because it's got a, the tone of it is just about right. This is really overwrought stuff. It's a weird, weird mix of, like, there's marriage therapy going on. There's first world problems. You know, we've only got a budget of $500,000. You know, the tone of it was wrong, and they're not very empathetic characters. You know, it's, I think it just feels wrong. It's kind of off-putting. They're not people who you end up rooting for. At least I wouldn't end up rooting for as well. I mean, I don't wish them bad in any way, and I hope they have a lovely life in the Algarve in their beautiful 500,000 renovated home. But it just felt a miss to me, to be honest with you. And it's not something I'm not going to be tuning in to see what happens the next two episodes anyway.
Okay, Little Britain apparently is coming back. Joe Shea, I've never been particularly into Little Britain, but a lot of people are excited about the idea of it returning. Is it worth coming back? And if so, will it have to change?
It'll definitely have to change. Little Britain's very interesting. It kind of caught the tail end of the lad culture and the start of the banter culture. And it perfectly kind of encapsulated that time when people were really kind of pushing back against political correctness or whatever you want to call it. And people were like, it did. And it was funny. I mean, it did have a lot of funny lines in it. And I did enjoy it. I remember at the time I really enjoyed it. 12 years on, we're in a darker place with these kind of issues, We're in a different world. And I don't think, back then it was kind of, it was almost kind of dangerous and cool. It was kind of, yeah, it's okay to kind of, to play around with stereotypes and the only gay in the village and ting tong and oh my God, it's even hard to talk about it these days because, it's not the kind of things that we talk about.
Okay,
these
well,
days,
actually, I've got an example and I hope this won't cause offence to people. I'm not aware of this particular character, but this is where Dudley and his wife Ting Tong go on honeymoon.
Yesterday, Dudley Punt married his Thai bride, Ting Tong Macadangdang. He wanted to make an honest man-woman of her. Today, they start their honeymoon in Belgium.
You said we were staying in a hotel.
Well, it's like a hotel, but smaller. And on wheels.
Dudley!
This is my little brother.
We're staying with your brother?
You must be Ping Pong.
Ping Pong?
Ting Tong. From the Philippines.
Thailand,
Ash. They're much cheaper there, aren't they? Welcome, King Kong.
Jennifer Gannon?
Yeah, I mean, bring it back, but change up the characters. I think comedy evolves. You'd hope no modern day comedian thinks that blackface or, Chinese jokes are still a good idea. Well, maybe if you're Piers Morgan. But I think, Matt Lucas has spoken about this before, and he said, Little Britain is 15, 16 years old, and he said he will do things differently now. He said there was a character who was a rubbish transvestite. He used to say, I'm a lady. She was fun at the time, but I think we look differently at the transgender community now, and it would be very hard to do that. And he said they will definitely approach the new series completely differently.
Well, Lucas, we'll give you another example of something that may need to change. This is where a student looks for an extension on her essay.
Hello, Martin, it's Linda. Yep, I've got a student here, needs an extension on her feminist poetry essay. It's Joanna Harding. Joe Harding. How can I describe her? Quite short hair, a few piercings, wears a lot of black, combat trousers. That's right, the big fat lesbian. Yeah. Friday will be fine.
Nope, that's not going to come back, is it?
Well, I mean, no. I don't think those type of characters will. I mean, I think, it is a comedian's job to an extent to probe fault lines and, taboo subjects and social protocols and, push you into areas of discomfort and things like that. And I think they always managed to avoid the question in Little Britain of who the joke was really on. There was a certain amount of surrealism in it, like because they came out at the same time as The League of Gentlemen. But were they saying this was their Britain or was the joke on those people who were overtly laughing at those characters and thought they were vulgar and outlandish? You just don't know.
Picks of the Week. Joe O'Shea, you've got one which I suspect, I'm hoping, might be almost a British version of Get Me Roger Stone.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. And if people haven't had enough of Brexit by this stage, and of course it's very timely. Farage, the man who made Brexit. Now this is Channel 4 on Wednesday at 9 p.m. And I think it's definitely going to be. And it's interesting you mentioned Get Me Roger Stone, because I think if they do it right, and I'm going to be fascinated to see how they promised that they've got great access to Farage. They've followed him, spent a lot of time with him, and they're going to delve into the world of Farage, Britain's most divisive politician. And it's the inside story of the 5 months in the lead up to the last general election in the UK, which was fascinating in a way into how Farage, it seemed he was going to be a big deal and a big element in the election. And then Boris almost outmaneuvered him in many respects. So I think if you haven't had enough for Brexit, and we all know what's happening at the end of the month, I think this could be a fascinating watch and also a good break from Irish politics as well if you need it.
OK, I'm looking forward to that one. What's your choice, please, Jennifer?
Really quickly, I want to say I wanted to recommend Babylon Berlin, which was supposed to be coming back for Series 3 on Sky Atlantic, which was the most expensive foreign language TV show that they ever had. And it's not on the schedule for Sky Atlantic. And I've tried to get in touch with Sky Atlantic. So if there's anybody out there can tell me when it's supposed to start, or have they shoved it off for something like Britannia, is this because of Brexit that we're not getting it anymore? I'd love to know.
Okay, but your pick is my pick of the Netflix. Week is,
yeah, and it's called Next in Fashion, and it's Queen of the Slashies, Alexa Chung. She's a model, presenter, actress, DJ, designer, writer, and she's teaming up with Tan France, who's the stylist extraordinaire from Queer Eye. And it's kind of like, you know, Great British Bake Off stroke Drag Race, but also it's pretty much just the same as, like, we had this with Project Runway, but it's kind of a new updated version of it. And I think they're a really charismatic duo. They have a good vibe together, and, you know, it's about young designers and their fashion and all of that, but it's like moving away from her really sardonic T4 style, and I think it's a step up and a step in the right direction for those kind of Project Runway style shows.
So that starts on Netflix from Wednesday. Thank you very much, Jennifer Gannon, and Joe Shea from the Republic of Works in Cork.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.